Hey, everybody. Welcome to Movie Crush, the miniest edition, the Lilla Show.
You ever seen the Lilla's Pet Shop? Is your daughter old enough to watch Lilla's Pet Shop?
I don't know what that is.
It's a cartoon about a really small pet shop with cute little cartoon monkeys and all sorts of animals. It's adorable.
I'm sure she's old enough then, unless there's a porn ring in the back.
No, well, you don't know. You don't ever really see the back. It's hard to say.
You could read into it.
Well, that's what we're doing right now, it looks like.
How's it going?
Wow. It's good, man. It's good.
You good? You living a single life?
Oh, man. God.
Tinder dating?
Every day. I'm not doing the Tinder. I'm doing the Bumble because that's for young professionals.
You hear that, ladies? Get on Bumble.
Bumble it up. You see one guy on the Movie Crush page was like, I'm super stoked Noel got dumped. And I was like, I don't know what you mean by this, sir. And then he said, new beginnings, my man. New beginnings.
So he meant in a positive way.
He did, but it was very vague. It required some clarification. And it hurt my little feelings for about a split second.
I know. Everyone, Noel and I are both very sensitive guys.
I felt myself backsliding. I was like, I've done such good work on myself, and then this asshole posts this shit, does this to me?
We're very sensitive dudes, everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
It's good. I like it. So, hey, everyone, and thanks for tuning in, and thank you for hanging in there I'm going to go ahead and address something that's popped up on the Facebook page. I've gotten some complaints lately about some of these shows with like musicians occasionally where we don't talk movies at first, but we talk about music and then get into the movie. And hey, you know, that's just how they're going to go sometimes.
You don't like music? What's your problem, guy or gal?
I get it. It's off script from the show a bit. But you know what? That's just the way it's going to go sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I even forewarn people on the Big Lebowski episode with the wonderful Eric Slick. It's like there's about 40 minutes of Dr. Dog and music talk. So if you're not into that, just skip forward to minute 40. Mm-hmm. And people still complained. And I'm like, come on.
I just don't understand the complaint in general of like get to the point. My favorite podcasts are the parts when they're not getting to the point. And if I like listening to the people, then I enjoy hearing them banter and be themselves, you know? Like that REM podcast, Are You Talking REM, Remy? About 10% REM discussion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great show.
I love it. It's delightful.
It's so wonderful. Anyway, thank you for hanging in there through those episodes. I think it's really great content as far as good music talk as well. And if you're not into it, I'm sorry.
Maybe for those, you should just change all the branding of the show and make a new logo and call it Music Crush.
Yeah, people have said, why don't you just do a Music Crush show?
Is that how they sound?
I'm like, man, I don't have time for two passion projects.
Seriously.
You know?
It's tough. One's a lot.
All right. So segment number one, we're going to dive in with Trope Time. And Noel, we may be able to finish this initial batch of tropes.
What was the tally?
I don't know. I didn't count. But this is my goal. Let me see here. Alex Glasnovich says this, don't trust anybody, said by the person who will later betray you.
Yeah.
Sort of. There's different variations of that theme, though.
Well, there's that one, and never mind. Is this? Am I allowed to spoil Game of Thrones? I don't know.
Probably not.
I guess I won't. There's a very important part in that where someone does that very thing and then says, I did tell you not to trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Was it spoiling it if I don't say who it is?
I think that's vague.
Okay, cool.
Enough. Zach Pointer has a couple here in horror movies, four horror movies, where the victim always runs, but the murderer catches up just by walking, of course.
Well, like with Halloween especially, that's because Michael Myers is imbued with mystical powers.
That's true. And you know what? I'm going to bring up another trope that I hate is when there's like – and you know, Back to the Future is a prime example. When there's a car clearly that has outjuiced the other car, yet they're neck and neck. Like in Back to the Future, even as a kid, I was like, this dude's in a DeLorean and he's being chased by an old beat up VW van, you know, the Libyans. Yet they're right on his tail the whole time.
Oh, that's right. I don't know. Maybe the argument is like, well, the van is bigger. It's got more horsepower.
No, that's not true.
No. No,
there's no horsepower in old BMW.
I don't know anything about cars, Chuck. Was DeLorean a hot shit car? Was that like a fast?
Well, actually, the DeLorean was sort of known for being a pretty lame car and a bad sports car, but it's still faster than a VW van.
Did you see that comedians in cars getting coffee with what's his name, Seinfeld, where he drives the DeLorean and it breaks down?
No,
it's like he's got dude that played the voice in Ratatouille.
Oh, Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt, and he's, of course, stoked to see the DeLorean. His eyes light up, and then it breaks down, and they literally have to get another car.
It's kind of a shitty car.
Yeah.
That's the dirty secret. Zach has another one, too, in horror movies where the victim always runs upstairs. Of course. Bad place to run. Carol Brennan, three of four dudes or women slow-mo walking to give the appearance of being a badass. Yes, that has been troped so much it is now sort of a joke. Shannon Lee, folks with disabilities who turn out to have supernatural abilities. Is that a thing?
I'm trying to think of an example.
She said the Duddits. I don't know what that is either.
I have no idea what that is. I mean, I think about Mr. Glass in Unbreakable.
Yeah, that sequel's coming out.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. But he didn't really have supernatural powers exactly. He was just more of a super genius asshole kind of.
He's a super asshole.
Yeah.
Ellis Porter says hitting someone over the head with an object to instantly make them unconscious. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Most of the times you get hit and you're just like, fuck, man, you cut my head open.
Yeah, but usually that's played for laughs, right? Where it's sort of like the single glass bottle break and they're like, out.
That's true. Tony Gleason, hanging up the phone without saying goodbye. I think we mentioned that one before. Good one, Tony. Kevin Krause, the new guy being trained so some plot point can be explained. Oh, yeah, for sure. Bad exposition in those scenes, for sure. David Priest, naked woman in bed after sex. Or in the morning, holding the sheet, neatly hiding her breasts.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Titillating.
Yeah, I mean, that's a trope with a good reason behind it. It's because
– keeps it PG-13.
Yeah, and a lot of these actors don't want to be naked.
That's right.
So that's the solve. You hold the sheet up.
Yep.
Or they get out of the bed and wrap the sheet around them and stuff.
Instantly.
Like, who's ever done that?
Or there's the underwear naked back shot but no frontal.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Scott Hodgson – the jumping through glass and not getting cut. Action movie trope, for sure. Sarah Harkrader, good name. The twist where the whole time, the main character is being groomed to die or be sacrificed. Yeah.
I like Wicker Man.
Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Phillips, the teenagers in the horror movies that you could strangle with a cordless phone. I'm not sure what that means.
Wait, say it again?
The teenagers in the horror movies that you could strangle with a cordless phone.
I don't know. The only cordless phone. Oh, wait. Strangle? Hey, you can't. There's no cord. You can't strangle anyone with a cordless phone.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
That makes no sense. I like it for its absurdity, though.
Follow up, Adam.
Yep.
We need to hear about that. Dan Turk, last minute realization of their love at the airport train station, bus station, for sure.
Maybe with one person hanging out of the vehicle, kind of reaching.
Yeah, and they're maybe like, running after them. I really love this person.
But obviously, you know, you can't get off the train or there's no reversing that, right?
Can't back up a train.
The love is over.
Ben Emerson. How about movie rain in general? It's either not raining or it's a torrential downpour. Yeah, that's true, Ben. It's because of the way those rain towers work. You can dial it back, but it always looks kind of phony to me. Or when it's clearly sort of very bright outside.
What are the logistics of these rain towers? I always wondered what that looks like. Is it like a
– it's a tall, super tall tripod with an extended pole that goes up however high you need it to go up depending on how wide your shot is. I've seen them that are like 100 feet tall. It's called a rain tower. And at the top, it literally just has a round little sort of sprinkler head. And you turn it on and it just all goes out in a big circle in every direction. And you have them set up all over the place. And that's why the rain in movies does not look like real rain usually. Because real rain comes down in drops. And this comes down in sort of a stream. Know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Vanessa Lopez, nature suddenly goes silent equals monsters are coming. All right.
Oh, that's true, because all the woodland creatures are scared on your behalf.
That's right.
Including the cicadas.
Yeah, they all go.
They're like, aw, shit.
Benjamin Johnston, not sure this is a trope, but looking really great and put together in the Middle Ages. Yeah. Although I think there are some more realistic Middle Ages films now. Like, people are always dirty, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just what? Covered in shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Have you seen the new Sacha Baron Cohen thing?
I haven't seen that yet.
Well, there's one character he plays who's like an inmate who he paints using exclusively shit. And it's a really good set dressing or costume detail where his nails are really filthy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's, you know, constantly digging in poop.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We're going to get through a few more, and we will not be done with Trope Time, everyone. That's the good news.
Hooray!
Chris McCullough says, when the outtakes play during the end credits, that's not a trope. Michelle.
My Belle.
Apa La Tegui. Apala.
You've done this before, Chuck.
The same name?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Apala Tegui is what I'm going to say from Michelle. Another one. Credit cards will open any door, like a locked door. I could break in with a credit card for certain kinds of locks back in the day.
Is that Jimmy in the lock?
Sure. Yeah. You can't do that with a deadbolt, though. It's just got to be one of those.
The little clicky one.
Yeah, like within the house.
Uh-huh.
The little clicky on the handle.
Yeah, because the idea is you use there's a little life hack for all you kids out there that want to break in. You push the spring-loaded thing in with the card.
Yeah.
And then it pops the lock. But deadbolt, and you're out of luck.
Yeah. It's funny. Emily and I went to see the house I grew up in about a year and a half ago, which we did from time to time. Mm. And it was for sale and it was empty. And I was like, oh, shit. I want to definitely go inside.
Do a little Jimmy-in?
And it was locked. And she was like, oh, well, it's locked. We can't get in. I went, I said, I broke into this house probably 30 times in my life growing up from forgetting my key.
Uh-huh.
And I went in through the garage kitchen window like I always did. And it was just as easy as it always was.
Nice.
And it was really weird walking around my house.
I did something very similar with my old school. My high school got condemned because of asbestos.
Oh.
And years later, I went there and went in, and everything was covered in plastic, and there were just these towering stacks of, like, old desks, and everything was just covered in dust, and there were the sounds of, like, kind of homeless people, like, sleeping in the bleachers and stuff. It was very, very eerie.
Wow.
It was very eerie.
Yeah, my house is neat. It was, like, a lot of it was unchanged, and there were things like wallpaper that just, like, shocked me back to being a 12-year-old, like light fixtures and
like
tiles.
Like in the 50s?
Yeah, in the 50s. In my bathroom that I grew up in, on the below the sink under, you know, at the cabinet under the sink, I opened the door and there was a little electric toothbrush holder that I screwed into the thing like
what?
Literally 30 years ago.
Yikes.
More than that, 35 years ago.
Not yikes. That's wow. That's awesome.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
What's not cool is the fact that 3 months later, they tore the house down. I had plans to maybe buy it one day.
Oh.
And do something with it.
That would have been cool. This was in Dunwoody?
Stone Mountain. Yeah. All right. We're going to finish up here with two more. Jessica Parsons says, the male protagonist has to lift an incredibly, impossibly heavy object in order to save a life. That's a trope, and that also could really happen. Hysterical strength. It's a thing. Shannon Lee, once again, she makes up for her not-so-great one by saying, the call is coming from inside the house. All right, more tropes to come, everybody. I've still got 2-3 pages of tropes. So we will move on now to Almost Famous, the recent new segment where I talk about actors who turn down a role, and these are usually famous people already, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. First, Garrett Hedlund. I'm going to go ahead and say the great Garrett Hedlund. I think he's pretty great. Big fan of his work. He turned down 50 Shades of Grey, the trilogy of the 50 Shades films, because he thought it was too big of a commitment to do a trilogy. And boy, Garrett Hedlund, you are laughing now because those movies are awful.
I just don't know how you could go see those movies in the theater and hold your head up high, you know?
Agreed.
That's Cinemax stuff, man. You do that in your private bedtime night times.
Skinemax.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway. I don't think I mentioned this one in the last one, but I may have. Silver Linings Playbook. She was going to be the Jennifer Lawrence character, and she left over creative differences with David O. Russell, the director.
Yeah. I heard he's kind of a pill.
He is, but he's a brilliant pill.
Yeah, sure.
So,
you know who else is kind of a pill, I've heard?
Who?
Anne Hathaway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm, two pills together.
Nah.
Rarely works.
Two pills in a pill pod.
Yeah. I think Jennifer Lawrence is pretty awesome in that movie. I really like that movie a lot.
Yeah, I like her in general. I don't know.
I saw Red Sparrow the other day. Did you see that
one? Yeah, it looked pretty steamy.
You didn't see it?
No, I didn't see it.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give it a medium rating.
Did you see Mother?
I still haven't seen it.
That's good. I liked it. People didn't like it, but I liked it.
Jim Carrey was almost Elf very early in that project. He came on board to play Buddy the Elf. And about 10 years later, when it finally made it to the big screens, he had already done How the Grinch Stole Christmas and didn't want to be in another Christmas movie.
Hmm.
Could you imagine anyone other than Will Ferrell?
No. I bet it would have been less good with Jim Carrey.
My finger has a heartbeat.
The delivery is what makes it. Maybe not. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Elf's one of my favorite Christmas movies.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Look at you. Emily and I say that one all the time when they're in the meeting with Peter Dinklage.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about him being short and an elf. And finally, he jumps up on the table.
Yep.
And Will Ferrell holds out his arms for a hug and goes, "Look at you." And of course, he runs over and like kicks his ass.
That's right.
So great. The great bad movie, Showgirls, a legendary movie that Elizabeth Berkley starred in. Drew Barrymore almost took the lead of Nomi.
Was that the Elizabeth Berkley character?
Yeah.
"I'm a dancer."
I never saw that.
I just remember that line. "I'm a dancer."
She turned it down because she hated that line. No.
Yeah, well, it's – wasn't that directed by the RoboCop guy, Paul Verhoeven?
Yeah.
Wow. How far he fell.
It was – got a lot of news.
I guess it did. Well, because it was like NC-17, right?
Oh, I don't even know, probably.
I think that was a part of it. I think there was a ratings kerfuffle on that. I just remember being a kid and going to Blockbuster and having the parental advisory sticker being on that one,
sure,
which was a cut above just an R rating.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it said, no, I know what it said. It said youth-restricted viewing.
Whoa.
That's what it said.
For some bad simulated sex, probably. Mm-hmm.
With guy from Twin Peaks is in it.
I don't know. Which guy?
You know, Agent Cooper.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's his name?
Kyle MacLachlan.
Kyle MacLachlan. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. Drew Barrymore is uncomfortable with the nudity, the amount of nudity. Ja Rule, Too Fast, Too Furious. He was supposed to – he had a brief appearance in Fast and Furious, but he's going to have a larger part in the sequel. But apparently just blew off John Singleton, the director, and the part went to Ludacris. And here's a quick funny story about Ludacris. He's in Atlanta and from Atlanta, and people around me know him. And we were asking about him podcasting and doing something. And we're like, what is Ludacris doing now? And his manager answered, he makes Fast and Furious movies. That's what Ludacris's job is.
I had no idea John Singleton had anything to do with the Fast and Furious franchise. That's fun to say.
What did he direct the first couple?
I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah, it looks like he did 1 and 6 maybe. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but I just had no idea. Didn't see there was a connection there at all. I just know him from, like, you know, what is it? Baby Boy and Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, Boys in the Hood. Yeah. That was his first movie. Breakout. Noel, you remember Million Dollar Baby?
Yeah, with the boxing picture.
Yeah, the boxing picture with oh, why am I just blanking on every name?
His name is Clint Eastwood, Chuck.
Hilary Swank.
Yeah, okay.
Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman. Sandra Bullock almost played the part of Maggie, but there were scheduling conflicts, and she had to drop out to film Miss Congeniality 2 instead of winning an Oscar for Million Dollar Baby, which she might have done.
What are you saying? Miss Congeniality is not like an Oscar-caliber performance?
It was not.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
The Hangover, the part of Heather Graham as Jade the Stripper. Can you say stripper, or is that?
I think it's fine.
I don't even know these days at all.
You know what you're not supposed to say?
What?
Hooker.
No, you say sex worker.
That's right.
Don't you say prostitute.
Really?
We've been taken to task on stuff you should know.
You know what I found out
on sex worker
on Ridiculous History? Not supposed to say homosexual. Everyone I've said this to has been a little bit shocked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just to like, wow, that's a thing. Get it.
So what did they say?
You say LGBTQ or queer or lesbian or gay, but you don't say homosexual because it has connotations of like the homosexual plague, you know, that like evangelicals
sure.
might
like
say
it was a disease.
Or the idea that it was a disease or a psychiatric condition.
Yeah, you know? That makes sense.
Yeah, but we said it on an episode of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, and a very kind listener did not shred us but wrote in and said, hey, guys, check out this media section on GLAAD. It's a term to avoid. Now, you know, the more you know.
Yeah, Stuff You Should Know fans are always pretty good about being kind and saying, hey, listen, I know you guys try to use the right words. It's hard these days because new words are being updated all the time. And it's always nice to get a kind message. And we always respond in kind and say, hey, listen, thanks for letting us know. Mm-hmm. We'll do our best to change that.
Sure. Same.
So anyway, the role of Jade, the clothes taker offer in The Hangover, almost went to Lindsay Lohan.
Interesting.
Huge movie that would have been for her.
Yeah, but you know, I don't even think of Heather Graham as having been in that movie. I don't know why.
Oh, she was great.
Was she? Was she? Yeah. In the first one?
Yeah, she was Jade, the clothes taker offer.
I just don't remember. I just don't remember.
I like that first Hangover. That was really
fun. Oh, I remember. I liked Mike Tyson. I remember Mike Tyson pretty good, pretty well.
And I'm a big Heather Graham fan.
Oh, I am too. I love Roller Girl, and she was great in Scrubs.
Drugstore Cowboy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that. That's the classic Graham role.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, or Gellar, was almost Cher in Clueless before Alicia Silverstone took the part. And she had to turn it down because she was on All My Children, the soap opera. Clueless went on to be a massive hit. And then Alicia Silverstone kind of disappeared as well.
Yeah, I think she – was it by choice, do you think? I feel like she
– maybe. Just I mean, she went on to be in Buffy.
So faded away.
You know. Oh, Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah, Alicia Silverstone.
I don't know.
She was in a couple of like stinkers. Like she was in The Crush. Remember The Crush with Cary Elwes where she was like the stalker crazy girl?
Yeah, here's a hint though. If you want to – make a great movie, don't cast Cary Elwes as your lead male.
Really?
He's not great.
No? He was in the first Saw movie.
Yeah, wasn't great.
Okay, that's fair. What are you? You don't even like The Princess Bride?
I liked it. He was okay in that.
He was okay in that. There are people that are going to come at you. The internet is going to swarm you, Chuck.
I don't think he's great, though. But like I said, Sarah Michelle Gellar went on to be in Buffy. So she was doing just fine. She's loaded for the rest of her life.
It's funny. I kind of didn't know who you're talking about because of the way you're pronouncing it. Sarah Michelle Gellar is how I've always heard it. But I'm sure you can say however you want.
I've heard Gellar, but I just pronounced it both ways.
Yeah, okay.
You just weren't paying attention.
That's part of it too, Chuck.
All right, and we're going to move on finally to Comment Card, where we take your questions. And I'm still reading from that original batch, so hang in there if you haven't had your question answered. Let me see. Allison Gallagher says, what actor or actress have you met that was completely different than you expected? I don't know. Because it would either be, boy, I thought they were going to be really nice and they were an asshole, or they play such jerks, but they were really so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll give you one. Michael Ian Black, I've met before, and he's a really genuinely nice guy. And he's so good at playing sort of smug jerks that I think people might think he's like that. But in my brief experience with him, he's a nice dude. So that's mine. Kevin Bocardé, or Bocard, either way. Favorite decade for movies? Kevin, to me, it's a very tough toss-up, and I even put this on as a poll in the next episode of 70s or 80s. The 80s, I think, is known for – like the 70s, I think, is known for more pure filmmaking and like classics, and the 80s may be known for a little more kitschy stuff, but the 80s has some great, great film.
You mean like picking a single decade?
Yeah, it's tough.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I can't do it.
I'm going to go with 70s.
70s is good.
I'll just say it. Luis or Louis Martinez, don't know how you pronounce it, Luis or Louis, is there any movie that you considered bad that you would want to see a remake of? Oh, do you have one?
Movie that I considered bad? Yeah, I would love to see a remake of Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Ooh.
The Mystery Science Theater movie, you know?
Okay.
It's so bad. But with the commentary, it's good. But I would love to see it just like really elevate it, you know, that material.
Yeah, all right.
Make a really kick-ass version of a bad movie.
I'm going to say, and this is a caveat here, I don't think it was a bad movie. The original Flash Gordon from the 80s, I really enjoyed. It's still one of my favorite sort of kitschy 80s sci-fi films. But I think you could do a really, really cool Flash Gordon movie now that would be awesome. Not to knock that one again. Love the Ridge. But it is very dated, to say the least.
Is that the one with Ming the Merciless?
Yes.
And it's got a Queen soundtrack, a lot of Queen music on the soundtrack.
It's
right?
A great.
Flash!
Great.
Whoa!
Have you ever heard Tenacious D's?
Yes.
Flash?
Yes.
So good.
It's very good.
Number four, Rob Dickinson. Is there any movie or TV score recommendations? to add to my Spotify playlist. Well, I love the score to Miller's Crossing. I love the score to The Godfather. I love the soundtracks to all of Wes Anderson's films. I love the soundtrack to Magnolia and Boogie Nights. And those new Guardians movies have great soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got?
Oh, the first CD I ever got was the Wayne's World soundtrack. A lot of good classic,
good
a lot of good classic rock on there. First place I ever heard Dinosaur Jr.
Mm.
What was the song that was on there? Out There.
You know, my brother worked on Wayne's World 2.
Oh, I like Wayne's World 2 as well. Mm-hmm. Not quite as good as the first one, but still,
it's a second
still a lot of fun
movie.
Nice.
Finally, Rachel O'Reilly, all-time favorite canine sidekick. Oh boy, favorite canine sidekick. Well, I don't see a lot of dog movies now that I'm scrolling through a list of dog movies. So I'm going to say Cujo.
That's not a sidekick. He's the antagonist. He's the villain.
All right, what's a sidekick? Jeez.
You know, like a familiar. Like
Hooch?
Yeah, exactly. Of, you know, Turner. There's Turner. You got your Turner. Then you got your Hooch.
All right, I'll go with Hooch.
But a canine, though, like I would narrow it more to animal sidekick. You know,
okay. What
like,
would you pick?
Every Which Way But Loose. Isn't there a monkey in that one?
Yeah,
with Eastwood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Eastwood?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And isn't there
Right Turn, Clyde?
Isn't there one with what's his name? Burt Reynolds, where he's got a creature as well. Did I make that up?
Maybe.
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
I can't think of one.
Doesn't matter.
All right, that's all I got this week, Noel. You got anything else?
No, I don't. I don't.
All right, everybody, your homework this week is, the kitty's getting thin, dude. Have you noticed?
You mentioned it.
It's making me a little nervous.
I know. It'll be okay, man.
I might run out of people. And if that, because I'm not, like, I don't want to record these remotely. And there's just been a dearth of people coming through Atlanta. And if that happens, we're just going to get you in here and get Emily and get my brother and just sort of stock it up. Get Josh.
Yeah. Josh is famous.
These easy gets?
Yeah. I'll do whatever you want, Chuck. You know?
All right. Casey Wilson on Clue, everybody. Casey Wilson, this was one of those really neat things where she got in touch with me, which I've long put out the call to actors coming through Atlanta. And Casey was coming through. She's like, hey, dude, got your information from Janet Varney. And I'm a big Stuff You Should Know listener. And I would love to come in and be on Movie Crush.
Nice.
And actually, I don't think she said I'd love to come and be on Movie Crush. I think she just said, I'm a big Stuff You Should Know fan, and you know you're in Atlanta, and you want to, like, get coffee, or can I come by the office? And I selfishly said I would love to get you on Movie Crush. And she, the next day, was in here.
Nice.
And you know Casey from movies like Gone Girl and Bride Wars and the great TV show Happy Endings and Marry Me that she did with Kim Marino, who I talked to her about, and she was on Saturday Night Live, my first SNL cast member, and she was happy to talk about that as well. So Casey was just lovely and smart and fun and funny, and she is best friends with Paul Scheer's wife. And so
Diane Raphael?
Yep, they're best buds. They're like college
fan.
Roommates.
Aww.
And started out doing improv together. So it's kind of coming full circle. So I'm closing in on June to be on the show. Hopefully that will happen because she's great too.
You think she's around here? She's on that Frankie and Grace show. Do they shoot that around here, or is that an LA thing?
They're in LA.
That's an LA thing. Yeah.
She's a mom. She's busy.
Yeah.
I'll get her on there at some point though. But Casey was wonderful and just so generous with her time. And we talked about Clue, everyone. One of my favorite movies. And we had such a good time talking about Clue. So that's your homework for this week. Watch The Great, Great Whodunit from the 1980s. And that's it. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Mini Crush.
Goodbye.